and Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
Yeah, welcome back, podcast world. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 845 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. You know I've got a fun episode lined up for us. In today's show, I'm going to give away free seeds. That's right. Hang out. We'll talk more about those free seeds later on in the show. I do want to remind you that there has been a fresh restock at iRedirect.com. That's right. Check iRedirect.com for a restock. When you check out, use coupon code PODCAST to save 20% off of your entire order. Every item at iRedirect.com is eligible for the discount. So hit iRedirect.com and use coupon code PODCAST to save 20%. Before I get too far, I do want to send a big thank you shout out to everybody who checked on me for not putting out a podcast episode last week. Thank you for checking on me. I do apologize for not putting out a show. I try to post an episode once a week, but sometimes the summer happens and I am going to skip a couple of shows and enjoy myself. I am safe. Everything is well. Everything is Irie. I was visiting a couple of friends. I spent a lot more time there than I had anticipated, but sometimes friends and family are going to take precedent over a podcast. This was one of those times. I thought I would catch up later in the week, but I did not because I got the honor and privilege to go see Miss Natalie Rise do 3 shows in Colorado. I got to see the show in Denver, just a short drive up the highway. An excellent, amazing show, lots of good friends. Shout out to my buddy Reggae in my head. I got to see him there and hang out. Saw lots of other friends, but Reggae deserves a big shout out. And then the next day, Miss Natalie Rise played here in my town, which is Pueblo, Colorado. That was just a short drive up the road, so that was great to see Natalie in my town. And then I was honored and privileged enough to be invited to a private barbecue with Natalie Rise and some of the very close Rise Nation crew. That was a great weekend. Shout out to Miss Natalie Rise. Shout out to everybody from Rise Nation. I cannot list everybody, but you guys and gals all know who you are. Extra big shout out to the Quarantina Backyard Concert family. You folks are amazing. Anyway, big shout out to the crew. I had a great time seeing Natalie Rise, but this all started by saying thank you to everybody who checked on me. It feels really good to have loyal followers, supporters, listeners. You guys are my friends is what I want to call you. It's great to have people that say, hey, dude, your podcast didn't come out. First of all, was it a tech issue? You might want to check on that. Second of all, if it wasn't a tech issue, are you okay? That's really great to hear from the family, the friends, the army, if you will. Thank you guys for that. I appreciate it. So shout out to you. And of course, once again, shout out to Miss Natalie Rise and the entire Rise Nation crew. Where do we go from there, ladies and gentlemen? I think it is now time to segue into some emails. I do have a website. That website is iregenetics.com. Let me clarify something. I have 2 websites. One of them is iregenetics.com. That website will also lead you to iredirect.com. I've got 2 websites for logistics purposes. It makes sense if you understand the background reasons. We're not going to talk too much about that. But the seeds I advertise are at iredirect.com. The rest of the things are at iregenetics.com. That's where you can find a link to Patreon, a link to my Discord server, a link to get merchandise where we sell grinders, t-shirts, rolling trays, things of that nature. Anyhow, on that website, iregenetics.com, there is a tab that says Grow Help or Grow Questions. If you click on that tab and send me a grow question, I may read that question here on the show. If I read that question here on the show, guess what? You win a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. The first email from that Grow Help tab today came from our friend, we're just going to call them Matthew. Big shout out to my new friend, Matthew. Matthew, make sure you check your inbox and check your spam because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. Our message from our friend Matthew goes a little bit like this. It says, Rasta Jeff, I want to thank you for being an absolute gem of a soul. That is a great way to start a message. Thank you. I'm still working on being a better person every day. I'm trying to do my best. Sometimes I make some mistakes, but I appreciate you noticing that I am a gem of a soul. That is a huge compliment, so thank you. It goes on, it says, I wish more people had the attitude and ability to spread the love the way you do. Actually, this person wrote this message not realizing it was coming straight to me, so it says the way he does, but it's coming straight to me, so thank you. I wish more people had the attitude and ability to spread love the way I do. I appreciate that. That is cool. Thank you. I try to have a positive attitude. Of course, I'm not going to come on the podcast when I'm in a bad mood and be like, the world sucks, I'm having a bad day, but I'm never going to do that. I'm not that way anyway, but I'd keep the bad attitude, the negative stuff off of camera. Of course, I do have bad days. Sometimes I wake up just in a funk. Sometimes shit doesn't go my way, but I try to keep a positive mental attitude, keep my head up, give thanks for what I do have and not be sad about what I don't have, because that's the best way you could do it, right? Be grateful and not be, the other way would suck. Anyhow, spreading love. That's just what I think I do naturally. But a friend of mine recently pointed out that I'm just naturally kind and loving and giving. So thank you for also pointing that out. It's good to see a lot of people seeing that in me recently. That makes me shine a little brighter and give you, it's able to give you more of that love and giving. It's going in circles is what I think I'm saying here. You guys got me rambling. Shout out to our friends at Green Dot Labs for the excellent concentrates. We're going to keep going though. This message says, I've been looking for the Lemon Jeffrey for quite some time now, as I tried a local strain called Lemon Drop a while back, and it had the best lemon flavor and effect on my mind that I've ever had. Okay, I love that you're after the Lemon Jeffrey because the Lemon Drop made you happy. I do agree that you may find something with those lemon terps that makes you happy, makes you smiley. That's why I like the Lemon Jeffrey. It fixes my weird glitches, and it makes me feel like a normal person, and it makes me happy and smiley and chatty and rambly, which is a good spot for a podcaster to be. Anyhow, it says, I would like to ask if there is a way I can be added to a list for when these seeds restock. Thank you in advance from your friend Matthew. Yes, the Elusive Lemon Jeffrey packs. Every time I put more Lemon Jeffrey on iRedirect, it sells out quite quickly. No matter how many I put on there, people just buy them up. I don't know if you guys are waiting in line for it. I don't know if something happened somewhere where it's super popular, but I cannot keep them in stock. I cannot make them quickly enough. Unfortunately, I only have a couple of packs left in my own private reserve right now that I will not let go of. Those are for me in case something were to go wrong, but have no fear because I will make more Lemon Jeffrey seeds in the very near future. Not right now, not this run, but in the next couple of runs, there will be more Lemon Jeffrey seeds created. Now, this person asked, Matthew asked, is there a way they can be added to a list for when these seeds drop? Yes, there absolutely is an amazing way to be added to a list. On the website where you sent this message at iregenetics.com, toward the bottom of that page, there's a spot that says stay up to date. And there's a picture of like a, it's like a letter, like an envelope. You can type in your email address in there. And if you type in your email address and hit send, that will add you to the newsletter that I use to send out to let everybody know about restocks, fresh drops, brand new stuff, merchandise sales, events that are coming up, places I may be. I've been trying not to spam you guys too much because I was hitting you pretty hard there for a few minutes with emails. But if you join that newsletter, that is where you will get all of those updates. And I try to send maybe one every other week. I try for one a month, but sometimes during holidays, you may get bombarded. If I hit you with the 420 sale, I'll give you a, hey, there's a sale coming, and then, hey, the sale started, and then a, hey, don't forget about the sale. I may sandwich three emails in a row there, but I try not to overload you unless it's really worth your time to go take a look. So the place to go get added to that list is on my newsletter at iregenetics.com. Scroll halfway down. You'll see the spot where it says stay up to date. That's where you stay up to date, my friend. Also, Patreon gets the heads up first. I promise all Patreon members that they get the first heads up of all the newsletters. Basically, when I compose a newsletter, I copy it and I paste it to Patreon, and Patreon gets it first. The newsletter will go out sometime in the morning, early afternoon. Patreon will get it at like 3-5 o'clock in the morning. As I'm composing it, they will get that message right away. They'll get it super early. So Patreon always gets the first heads up. So if you do join that Patreon, you do get the opportunity to get the heads up for when new stuff restocks. Occasionally, about once or twice a month, I do give away free seeds on Patreon. I just post, hey, the first 10 people to go to the website and use this coupon code will get a free pack of seeds. Sometimes people get free seeds that way. And then if you join at specific tiers, the $25 level does get a free pack of seeds every month, and the $50 level does get two free packs of seeds every month. So join the Patreon. There's a lot of perks there. All right, my friend Matthew, thank you for the great message. Once again, my dude, check your inbox, check your spam, because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds from iredirect.com. All right, podcast world, let's keep this good energy going and work our way into the next segment of today's podcast. If you've been watching for a while, you know I like to do a grow room pet peeve section of the show. Most of you know what a pet peeve is. That is something that just drives you crazy. Sometimes I'll be in a commercial grow. Sometimes I'll be at a friend's grow. Sometimes I'll see something online that just drives me crazy in a grow. That is a pet peeve. I encourage you as listeners to send me your grow room pet peeve. You can send me those grow room pet peeves on that grow help tab at iregenetics.com. Today's pet peeve came from our friend who is going to be called Brody G. Big shout out to my new friend Brody. This message goes a little bit like this. It says, "Hey Rasta Jeff, hopefully you had a good 4th of July holiday. It was excellent. It was a great holiday. Let me jump to the question part. It says, my biggest pet peeve was after all these years of growing, when somebody sells me a cut claiming it is something popular and it turns out not to be the real thing." That is very frustrating. It's almost offensive. I've seen that break up friendships. I have been sold. Somebody claimed they sold me something. It was not what they sold me. They took a lot of money from me. And now they act like I did something wrong because I want some sort of acknowledgement at fucking least that this guy gave me the wrong clones, but he doesn't care anymore. I'm the asshole for pointing it out. I understand how that goes. I kind of lost a friend, possibly a business partner, because he sold me cuts and he's like, "I got extras if you want them." And he knew that it wasn't what he was giving me. He knew that. But anyhow, it goes on. It says, it's not only a waste of money, time, and grow space, it's a massive disappointment. Yes, I agree with that. Not only a disappointment, it can kind of piss you off a little bit because you've been hyping it up. You told all your friends, like, "Bro, I got this new cut. I got this new fucking space monkey balls," and you're fucking excited about it, and you're telling all your homies, and you're sending pictures, and then you smoke it, and you're like, "This is a fucking blue dream. Like, I've been there before, bro." Like, yeah, I've been there. Not just massive disappointment. Sometimes you're a little bit flat-out pissed off. It depends on how much you paid for that cut and how many of them you bought and who you got it from. If it's just some random dude on Craigslist that I met in a parking lot and gave him $25 for a clone, that's on me. That's my dumbass fault for trusting that guy. But if it's one of the guys in the circle that I know that, like, actually I know he has this cut, he's got the fucking monkey space balls, whatever I called it, and I'm like, "Sell me a cut of that." And he's like, "Sure, bro." And he sells it to me, and I know he gave me fucking Blue Dream, and I grow it, and I can tell right away, that's fucking wrong. That definitely will cause a rift in the force. Let me keep reading. There's more to this. It says, "I appreciate the fact that you give back to the community in so many different ways. Peace, love, and big dabs from Brody G." Bro, thank you for the acknowledgement that I'm giving back to the community. I feel like we've cultivated a great community with the IRE Army, with the GFYH podcast crew, with the IRE Genetics team, which is growers in general. We've got a really good community happening right now. It's all in a good spot. The Discord is popping. All of the comment sections have been real positive. So thank you for noticing that I'm trying to give back to the community. The community has been really important to me lately. That word, the whole word community, the idea of community is becoming more important to me. So thank you. I appreciate that. And my dude, Brody G, once again, check your email, check your inbox, check your spam, because you, my dude, have a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. All right, podcast world, now is the part of the show that you have all been waiting for. I'm sure you saw in the title that we are going to talk about Fist Bump and Redline, so let's get down to business, shall we? This portion of the podcast was inspired by a question that came from that Grow Help tab on iregenetics.com. This question came from my new friend Richard. Richard, make sure you check your inbox and check your spam, because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds from iredirect.com. Richard's question goes a little bit like this. It says, "Hey Rasta Jeff, my spirit tells me that your genetics are legit and I will be purchasing exclusively from you." That is a great statement and a great way to start an email. I definitely appreciate that. It feels good to know that your spirit thinks that my genetics are legit. That's that's a huge compliment there is what I'm trying to say. And the idea of purchasing exclusively from me is great. I do not expect any loyalty, but I definitely do appreciate that loyalty. Now let me keep going, because it does say, "Recently I got Fist Bump and Redline seeds. I am now 62 years old and I have a green thumb. Can you please describe the flavor profile of these great cultivars? Thanks for the IRE vibes." Richard, yes, I would be happy to describe the flavors, and I'll actually give you a couple more details on these strains while we are here. We're going to start with Fist Bump. Fist Bump is one of my favorite strains, one of my best-selling strains, one of my most popular strains right now. Fist Bump is only available in regular seeds. That means you will get male and female seeds out of the pack. I did not, and I probably will not make Fist Bump in a feminized form. I've just got a lot of other things in mind. But I just want to start by saying Fist Bump is available in regular seeds only, so there will be males and females in this package. Now, I do have a few notes that I'm going to try to use to try and keep myself on track, but we all know how that goes if you've been here before. Now, let's start with the name Fist Bump. Why did I call the strain Fist Bump? Where did that come from? You guys know I'm a reggae fan. I like to go to a lot of reggae shows. Anytime you're at a reggae show and you see a friend or if you meet a reggae artist, we don't shake hands. We give a fist bump. That's a sign of respect. That's like, what's up, bro? I respect you. That is our version of a fist bump. I'm sure a lot of different cultures out there do a fist bump. Anybody from Rasta culture to skateboarders to bar bros to biker dudes to sports guys, we all give a fist bump. Fist bump just says, what's up, dude? We're connecting. What better way to name a strain than Fist Bump? Show we are connecting. I got some love for you. We're on the same side. We're on the same team. What's up, bro? Fist Bump. Just a fist bump for all the ganja growers out there. So that's where Fist Bump came from. Now let's talk more about the plants themselves. Fist Bump. What are the genetics? What is the cross of Fist Bump? That is a cross of Sour Diesel and Arise. What? That's a really fast-growing, tall, branchy plant. Makes plants that grow really tall really quickly. Be ready for tall plants. I want to say that a couple times. They're going to get tall. They're also going to get branchy. All those branches are also going to get very tall. If you do not top the fist bump, you will get a very big, fat, dominant top cola. If you grow a really big, fat top cola, make sure you keep your VPD in line. If you've got a room that is known to get too humid or have VPD issues, I recommend topping Fist Bump and growing a bunch of, they won't be tiny, but you won't get this big donkey dick style bud that you normally would. You won't get that big baseball bat. You'll get a bunch of smaller baseball bats, which then will prevent that powdery mildew or that bud rot issue from happening that I said prevent. It will help stop that. You do have to correct the room, but if you do have an over-humid room, I recommend topping to prevent that giant cola. Set yourself up for success. Where else should we go from here? They're very vigorous. They grow very quickly. That 21-day stretch, these plants are going to take off on you. Be prepared for that. These plants will double, if not more, in size by the end of flower. So however tall, if it's a foot tall when you put it into flower, it will be 2, maybe 2.5 feet tall by the time it is done. Be prepared for that. They are stretchy. They're also heavy feeders. In veg, they like a lot of nitrogen. When you put them into flower, don't cut that nitrogen off immediately. All of my Arise crosses, everything that came from King Solomon, my Arise male, is basically a pretty heavy feeder. You're going to want to give it a lot of nitrogen. When you flip to flower, I don't recommend cutting off that nitrogen like a lot of growers do. I recommend tapering it off slowly. So slowly taper off that nitrogen so they don't fade out too quickly on you. If you see yellowing early with Fist Bump or most of my stuff that is bred with King Solomon, I encourage a foliar feed with some nitrogen to help that plant along. Nitrogen is a mobile nutrient. It'll get on the leaves. It'll move itself where it needs to be. That's the short version of what happens. But don't let that nitrogen get away from you. Let's stay focused. Taper off the nitrogen slowly. Then let these plants finish. These plants are going to take about 10 weeks, if not a little bit more. Sometimes 72, 77 days is appropriate. Don't be afraid to let them go because they will bulk up at the end and get super fat on you. That extra time will pay off. You will get extra weight in the long run. I wrote down 10 plus weeks as my note here. These plants, they do take well to trellising, topping, popping, scrogging. You can abuse these plants. They will take it. The only challenging part about the fist bump plants, well, two challenging parts. They're going to get big more quickly than you're anticipating. These plants will get away from you. They'll grow very quickly. If you're not paying attention, you'll think I've got time to put some stakes in there or time to trellis that. You don't. Do it now. They're going to get away from you. The other struggle you may face is feeding. If you don't feed them properly early on, you'll never catch up. You'll be chasing the feeding forever with these plants. Otherwise, they're fairly easy to grow. I know that sounds intimidating, saying they get tall and hungry, but most growers can handle that. Most of you overfeed your plants anyway, so I think you're going to be okay. Now, the main question here was, can we talk about the aromas and flavors? Yes, this is where it gets exciting. Fist Bump, since it's got that sour diesel in there, it comes out gassy and fuely. It's like a little, it's got the gassy top to it where gas, like gasoline, has a certain alcohol smell to it, but it's also got diesel, which is nasty. So it comes out with both of those terps. Then also from the Golden Goat, it's got some citrus and some like tropical sweetness. So it's like it's almost like a tropical smoothie, almost not an orange Julius, but a tropical Julius, if that makes any sense to your terp flavor mind. It's like if you ate a tropical Julius, if you had one of those Mexican ice cream fruit bars from the gas station that are super fucking delicious. You know what I'm talking about, you Southern California people. One of those bars, a Pelletieri bar. Is that how you say it? I'm a gringo. It's all good. Next to the gas pump, next to the diesel pump. That's what it's like, bro. It's like fruity gasoline at the same time. And it's really desirable. I really love that sort of buzz, that sort of terp. Now, one thing I do notice is that some of the structure will indicate what the flavors are going to be like. I've noticed that some of the phenotypes that display certain visual characteristics also do come with certain scents and aromas. The plant with the chunkier, big, thick top cola, that one's going to be mostly sour diesel. The one with the fingerier sort of kind of shaped buds, that one is the Golden Goat. There is a phenotype in there that will get really, really tall and kind of skinny. It puts off one long, tall, skinny bud. That, I believe, comes from the Island Sweet Skunk and Hawaiian Sativa in the Golden Goat. It's got a lot of the Hawaiian Sativa structure and the Island Sweet Skunk aroma. That's where I really think that one comes from. And you can smell it, and I can visually identify those specific phenotypes. There are a lot of different phenotypes that come from these. They are not very uniform. You're going to see several different phenotypes. But you can see the Golden Goat, you can see the diesel, and then you can see a couple of the weirdos that pop up as well. But I've been talking about this when it comes to phenotype. I don't want to tell you too much about phenotypes because I don't want to pick for you. I brought you a variety pack of amazing flavors, and I want you to choose if you want blueberry, raspberry, strawberry, lime, mandarin, guava. There's one in there that's for you. I want you to choose that one. I don't want to pick that. I think you'd be better at that. So choose the phenotype that works best for you. But the flavors and aromas was the main part of the question. Gassy diesel aromas with like a tropical fruit sort of a thing on top of it. So it's like you ate some tropical sorbet or took a bowl of mixed fruit and put that in your mouth, but then you had to sniff gasoline or diesel fuel at the same time. That is my feedback, my update, my report on Fist Bump. Now, we are going to work our way into another strain. From here on out, I don't want any confusion. I just want it to be known. From here, right here now, we are now talking about another strain. We're going to work our way into Redline. Let's talk about Redline. I think I started last time with why did I name it Redline? Redline's got a couple of different meanings to me. First of all, it's red Lebanese hash plant. So you got the red in there. Red Lebanese hash plant, RL already, Redline. When I saw the Redline, I saw RL. But red Lebanese hash plant to the same arise that made the Fist Bump. So that's King Solomon to red Lebanese hash plant. A red Lebanese hash plant always list ladies first when you're talking about the cross. That's an important detail. Red Lebanese hash plant to the arise. Why did I name it Redline? A couple of different reasons. It's got red in the name already. Redline. Redline was a bicycle company when it still could be a bicycle company. I have not kept up, but I used to be a bicycle rider. I was a BMX enthusiast. I loved that movie Rad. I loved Matt Hoffman. I was into GT bicycles. I liked freestyle bikes, BMX biking. Any way that I could hurt myself on a 20-inch bicycle, I was all about it. So the Redline was a popular brand at the time. I was a GT guy. I rode Gary Turner bikes, but Redline was super popular. A lot of people loved it. So that played into my culture, my childhood. So that was part of my memories. Redline comes from that. But wait, there's more. The first time I smoked Redline, my eyes got bloody, bloody red. They were blood red. It was like dangerously red. It looked like there was blood dripping down my eyeball. It was so red from smoking Redline. And you guys have watched me take fat dabs on Discord. You see me come in here and talk about, I just took 72 dabs. My eyes, it takes a little bit to get my eyes red. They get a little pink sometimes. At the end of the day, you can notice I get the messed up eyes from smoking too much, but not like most people would. But the Redline, my bro, Redline had my eyes bloody, dangerous, dragon red. It looked like there was something wrong with me. And I thought it was an anomaly. So I've tried again. And every time I smoke Redline, something about it, just my eyes just get blasted red. They're getting red thinking about it right now. I can feel them subconsciously. I can feel myself getting red-eyed just fucking talking about how much that makes my eyes red. I don't know what it is. I don't know what terp or what cannabinoid is in there, but something in that red line just makes my eyes red, and it does it to everybody that smokes it. At least everybody I've seen smoke it, they all get the super fucking red eye. So that's part of why it got called Redline, because Redline bicycles back in the day, and then just because Redline, bro, your eyes are so red. And also Redline, because I got so high, bro, I was like, is it the Redline? There's no further to go. That's as high as I'm gonna be. After that, you ever smoked yourself sober or just like spent yourself? You're like, I'm super high, and you take another dab, and you're like, wait. Where'd it go? Hey, you just redlined. You're over the max. You got to start over now. You got to start re-smoking. Anyway, I am rambly as shit. Redline. It got called Redline because the Redline bicycles, you get red-eyed, and you are as high as you're going to be. You're hitting the Redline. And it's got red Lebanese hash plant. RL is already in there. Let's keep moving. Red Lebanese hash plant to arise. I'll describe the red Lebanese hash plant a little bit. The red Lebanese hash plant is a great plant, but in my opinion, it's a little bit wispy. It could be more sturdy, more vigorous, more structurally sound. Everything else is awesome. It roots quite quickly. It tastes really good. The buzz is fucking awesome. And real quickly, side note, sidebar, somebody recently asked me if they're allowed to smoke hash plants as flower or if it's only for hash. No, bro, enjoy the flower. If you grew that and it made good flower, smoke it that way. It's just it would also make an excellent hash plant. It was kind of why it got called hash plant. And yes, Redline is a great washer, presser, all that good stuff, by the way. So the red Lebanese hash plant, it's a great hash plant. It's got that old school skunky sort of a terp to it. The only problem with it is it's not as vigorous and structurally sound as I would prefer. It's got that old world, just land race sort of wispy funkiness to it. But I knew that King Solomon would fix it, and he definitely did. So I bred the King Solomon Arise Male to the red Lebanese hash plant. We made Redline. Let's talk about the phenotypes that come out of that. Most of the phenotypes are going to be bushy and wide, but also tall, but not as tall as a lot of my stuff. It's still going to make a big apical dominant top because that's what King Solomon does, but this one's going to bush out a little bit more because that's what the red Lebanese hash plant does. It's not going to stretch as much. The other one I said is going to double in height. This one, not quite double, but probably close. More like, what's the word? It's going to 2/3 on you is about what it's going to do. It's not going to be as aggressively stretchy. That 21-day stretch isn't going to come on and go shebang like the fist bump. It's going to stretch and then just continue to grow. It's not going to be fucking boom, I'm stretchy out of control. It's going to do it more slowly, more controlled. So you're going to get less of a stretch, but it is going to get tall. If you top it, I recommend to top the red line. Take that big apical dominant top out of there and top it, and you will get a bush of amazing, beautiful buds, especially if you are trellising, scrogging, doing that sort of work. Then I definitely recommend topping it. Take that big top out of there. You'll get a lot more reaction from the plant, in my opinion, in my experience. Make it bushy and spread it out. It's a fast grower. It is also a heavy feeder. Don't feed it as long as you would fist bump. And I know you may not have both to compare, but the fist bump is going to need more feeding than the red line. But again, it is a moderately heavy feeder. It can handle, one of the good things about red line is it can handle some temperature swings. I don't recommend getting your plants too hot or too cold, but if you do, red line will take it very well. I've seen red line get too cold in the winter. I've also seen red line get too hot in the summer. It seems to be able to handle both of those without getting too angry, without slowing down. It still tasted good at harvest time. It was still super productive. Everything was perfect, even though we've had too hot and too cold. And in fact, I've done both in the same grow because I'm in Colorado. I can really fuck up some plants here with my environment. And sometimes I really get that opportunity, and I have done it. So I've tortured Redline, and it seems to handle all abuse and temperature very, very well. It can take droughts. I haven't overwatered it on purpose, but I would assume since it's got King Solomon in there, it can handle some bullshit. It can definitely take a drought because I've drought tested it before. All right, now let's talk about flowering time for Redline. In most cases, Redline is going to take around 9 or 10 weeks to flower completely if you are flowering for smokable flower. Now, a lot of people that are going to grow Redline may grow it for concentrates because this is a great concentrate plant. One thing you may notice about Redline is that in some phenotypes, the trichomes do start to develop early, and these plants get frosty very early in the flowering phase. Now, I know a lot of you concentrate makers, you guys that wash the buds and then press it, I know you guys like to take the plants down early. This may be very advantageous for you to cut the plants down early because the trichomes start growing early, which means they are starting to develop early, which means you might even be able to cut down for concentrates even earlier. So that may be advantageous for you concentrate makers. However, if you're growing for flower, I do recommend letting it go that full recommended 9 or 10 weeks. All right, now once again, let's wrap back around to the main point of this question. Our friend Richard was asking about the flavors and aromas of Red Lion. So let's focus on that now. The main thing I like about Red Lion is what I call the old world flavors and aromas. Now I feel like everything tastes like some sort of cake or some sort of dessert or some sort of Little Debbie snack or something at the gas station. It all smells like that sort of snacks and treats now. Back in the day, weed smelled like weed. It smelled like cannabis. It smelled like ganja. It smelled skunky. It smelled earthy. It had a hint of spiciness to it. It had a very warm, distinct smell. It wasn't, hey, I smell blueberries with a hint of muffins with a little bit of frosting with a touch of honey at the end, and it smelled like you might have used a little bit of too much worm castings, and then I can smell a little bit of, what is that? And there's that bacon grease at the end. We didn't do all that shit back in the day. We went, damn, that one's skunky, or damn, that one smells bad. That's how it used to be back in the day. And the Red Lion terps smell like old weed did back in the day. It's got hints of gas. It's got hints of skunk. It's got that warm, spicy, skunky smell to it that weed had back in the day. And that's really one of the things I love about it. So my favorite descriptive words for Red Lion are going to be skunky, maybe a little bit spicy, and then warm weed. Remember when weed hits, when the smell of cannabis hits my nose, the first thing I notice is warmth. It smells warm. It smells savory. It doesn't smell like candy most of the time. And it's got that not candy smell to it. Now weed does smell like candy, but back in the day it was warm and savory and skunky and earthy. Maybe a little bit of like different spices from the kitchen might have been in there, but it didn't smell like candy and bubblegum and shit back in the day. That's what I think Red Lion smells like, is old school, old world terps, old weed from back in the day. Not in a bad way, but in a classic way that a lot of us might miss. Before everything was Blue Dream and Girl Scout cookies and biscotti and gelati and fucking Skittles and all that, it tasted like weed back in the day. And that's what Red Lion tastes like, in my opinion. So my friend Richard, man, thank you for the great questions. You got me talking real good, and you got me to highlight two strains that a lot of listeners have really been waiting for some details on. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that is my report on Fist Bump and Red Lion. That's my story, and I am sticking to it. Before I wrap this up, I do want to give a shout out to my friend Kevin Jodry. Shout out to Kevin Jodry. A lot of you may know Kevin from the Gangier. Kevin's a great dude. He's a great teacher. He's an amazing fucking grower, a great breeder, a great dude all around. I owe Kevin a big shout out and a fist bump. Shout out to my dude, Kevin Jodry. Kevin, I look forward to smoking a joint with you soon, my dude. But anyway, Kevin Jodry has developed his, I'm not sure what he even calls it, but he's got a way of breaking down flavors in the cannabis industry. And he has identified the main flavors in cannabis as earth, fuel, floral, and fruit. And I definitely agree that that is probably the base. There may be some outliers in there. I'm not sure where everything would fall into that. But if you can name a flavor, I bet it would fit closely in that color wheel. So we'll talk about these a little bit. And this may in the future help you understand my descriptions of cannabis when I say it tastes earthy, it tastes fuely, it tastes like a mango. What Kevin's trying to do is create a language. So when I say it tastes earthy, you understand what I mean instead of just going, earth, what the fuck does that taste like? So I'm going to talk a little bit about that briefly. Then we're going to wrap up this episode and go take some dabs. But the four things Kevin talks about are earth, fuel, floral, and fruit. Now I'm going to try to talk about those flavors and maybe name a strain to go with each one of those. Earthy, Bubba Kush, pre-98 Bubba Kush, San Fernando Valley OG Kush. Most of your kushes are going to have that earthy flavor. It tastes a little bit like dirt. You may get a coffee flavor. Sometimes it may translate to a chocolate flavor. Big Mountain Fudge Cake has got earthy coffee dirt terps to it. So that is where I think the earth comes in, is that sort of a flavor. That like the cushy stuff, the stuff that tastes like dirt, that smells like coffee, that is earth, how I would translate it. Now, the next one on the list is fuel. Fuel, we've all gotten gasoline, right? We've all smelled diesel gas. That is fuel. What strains smell like gas and fuel? Sour diesel, dude, of course. That classic sour diesel smell is called diesel because it smells like diesel fuel. So that's where the fuel comes from. Now let's get creative here. What if we add earth and fuel together? What is that? That's the chem family in my mind. That is where chem comes in. The chem dogs, chem 4, chem 91, chem sister. Those are, they've got a little bit of fuel and a little bit of earth mixed in together. That's where you're getting that's where the chem family lies. That's chemicals. So when you put earth and fuel together, that's where the chemical feel, chemical smell and aroma comes from in my mind. I'm sure you guys can see where this is going. Next, we've got floral. The floral flavors are things like lavender and lilacs. And the strain that comes to my mind, I'll say lavender is the first strain that comes to my mind when we talk about floral. But if you smell lavender or lilacs in your brain, that's the aromas that I think of, or roses even, or floral, that sort of flowery smell. Grandma's bathroom, that sort of smell. That's a flowery sort of smell most of the time, hopefully. Also, scarlet begonias has a lot of flowery, floral sort of terps to it, in my opinion, in my experience. Now, the next one on our list here is fruit. And I'm sure most of the people in the room understand what I'm talking about when I say a fruity flavor. What do I mean by fruit? Fruit can be anything from lemons to strawberries to mangoes to watermelons, guavas, kiwis, whatever fruit you can think of. Fruit, that's a category of cannabis, of ganja flavors, of terpenes. So when we're talking about, when I'm talking about these different flavors, I'm just trying to give us all like a collective starting point to understand what I'm talking about. And once again, I want to give a big shout out to my buddy Kevin Jodry for kind of listing and establishing this baseline for naming these flavors. This definitely helps us all communicate better and together if we all know that when I say fruit, I'm talking about fruit, and then we can expand on that by saying lemons or oranges or watermelons or mangoes or guavas or cherries. We can make more categories from there. But I think most things are going to fit into these four categories. Anyway, I just wanted to touch on the way that a lot of us in the cannabis industry think about flavors and aromas and how we describe it, and try to get everybody on the page here so that when we talk about terps, we all kind of know what we're talking about. And I'm going to rant about one more thing just to make it fun. You don't hear me talk about the word terpene profile a lot. You don't hear me talk about terps a lot. You don't hear me say this strain is high in humulene. This strain is high in terpenylene, because the average bear, the average cannabis consumer doesn't know what the fuck that means anyway. If I said, yeah, this one smells a lot like terpenylene with some humulene in it, and it's got some caryophyllene in it, people are going to go, what the fuck is that, dude? But if I say, yo, this one tastes like lemon diesel with a bit of honey in it, you can go, lemon, I know what lemon tastes like. Diesel, I've smelled diesel fuel before. Okay, lemons and diesel, that's good together with a little bit of honey. Ooh, that sounds nice. Or, you know, this one tastes like chocolate cake with a little bit of vanilla frosting. Your brain knows what chocolate cake and vanilla frosting tastes like. That's why I try to describe the things the way I do. And I don't say, this one smells like humulene and caryophyllene, because nobody knows what the fuck that is. All right, that's my ramble for the day. I am sticking to it. Ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, pimps, hoes, friends, foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, pollen chuckers, all of you beautiful cannabis enthusiasts out there, I do want to thank you once again for listening to another ramble-filled episode of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. If you have any questions, corrections, comments, or concerns, you know that I would love to hear from you. My email address is growfromyourheart@hotmail.com. Don't be shy. Reach out. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Also, you are more than welcome to argue in the comments section. That's right. Let me know how you feel in the comments. I do enjoy reading the comments section. Fill it up. Keep the party going. Where else do we go from there? Oh, yeah, like and subscribe. That's right. Like and subscribe. Click like and subscribe. It's that easy. All you cool kids know what you're doing. That is all I've got for this episode, everybody. I am done rambling. I'll be back in a week with fresh new content. I want to give a big shout out to my buddy Crawdaddy. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me.
Rasta Jeff, you bad mother.
Time to take another dab. Grab your piece in and I go find the bag. Rasta Jeff is in the lab. Sit back, Pokemon, be relaxed. Hold up.